It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with Season 3, Episode 12 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, sponsored by Pilgrim's Pride. Tony, we're going to talk about number 55 today. Lots of linebackers there again,
yeah.
as we knew would be.
I'm also reminded of Sammy Hagar. I can't drop 55.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Back when the speed limit was 55.
Yeah, it still is around here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Governor Sanders, if you're listening, I think it's been raised, but they just don't have any money to change the signs. Is that right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But, are they changing every part of the state but ours?
But we've got a surplus. It's bigger than it's ever been every year.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah. It's huge. It's huge. A lot of number 55s. Which one's your favorite?
Well, I mean, if you're talking about the best ball player, Lawrence Taylor, probably one of the best five linebackers. I know that you're probably not a big fan with him being a New York Giant, but, I mean, you can't deny the guy was.
You know, there's two things. I mean, I think he was a great linebacker.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Joe Theismann deal, I still remember that.
Oh, yeah. I was watching in person the night that happened.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he's probably the best linebacker there. For sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Until
we get to 58.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Chris Dolman, outstanding Hall of Fame linebacker mm-hmm. for the Minnesota Vikings, kind of known for a mean streak. Mark Burley threw two no-hitters. A lot of people don't remember that. He's not in the Baseball Hall of Fame yet. He's one of the best pitchers that is not in the Baseball Hall of Fame that maybe should be considered. Probably because he pitched in obscurity for the Blue Jays and the White Sox, didn't pitch for the Yankees or anybody like that. Pat Swilling, outstanding New Orleans Saints linebacker. We've had a lot of Saints linebackers on here. There was a time where all those guys they played together, Sam Mills and Swilling and those guys, and Saints had a really good defense. And probably your favorite on here, Hollywood Henderson.
Ah, well, he was a Cowboy.
He was.
Yeah, and he was a good linebacker. That kind of came out of nowhere.
Before their first Super Bowl with the Steelers, he said that Terry Bradshaw could not spell cat if you spotted him the C and the T. And Bradshaw went out and beat him. So
that doesn't mean he could spell.
It doesn't.
I'm still not sure he could spell cat.
Well, he's had a long time to catch up.
That's true. But a couple of people, one person that I was going to mention, Matt Millen.
Yeah.
He was a great linebacker for the Oakland Raiders.
He was.
Yeah.
And he also served as a GM for a couple of teams. I think the Detroit Lions.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions for sure. Maybe another. Maybe the 49ers. So, yeah, that's a good mention.
And a couple of Hog basketball players I want to mention. Mario Credit, back in the early days of Nolan Richardson. He was there when they kind of started winning before they really got really good. And then Derek Hood, he was a great rebounder for the Razorback basketball team. Any other 55s you want to talk about?
I think we've covered it.
All right. Well, let's move on to high school football.
Since 1966, your Gary Autoplex has been serving Southwest Arkansas over 60 years of supporting families, schools, and of course, our scrappers. Just like the scrappers never quit on the field, York Gary has never quit on this community. Generations have trusted York Gary for not just vehicles, but for honesty, service, and relationships that last. York Gary Autoplex, celebrating 60 years of service and always going the extra mile.
And it's time to talk about the Nashville Scrappers. Nashville Scrappers beat Ashdown 56-14, Tony, and looks like they got to play a lot of players. When you look at the normal players, Jacoby Hobson, Tucker Dixon, they did their normal things, but Bryce Perrin had a great game. Gage Applegate also had a great game. So lots of different players playing for the Scrappers. And Tony – we mentioned it earlier, but they had a They lost their first two games. Now they're on a five-game winning streak. And really, if you look at their schedule, and after what happened with Bauxite and Nashville, Malvern, surprised me.
Yeah, it did.
I mean, Bauxite beat the dog out of Malvern.
They did, and it kind of really made that couple weeks ago, that Nashville Arkadelphia game, that was the championship game for the conference, if everybody wins out the way they should.
Yeah.
But I mean, Coach Cheshire would never say this, but we both know Coach Cheshire pretty well. I know he'd love to have another shot at Magnolia now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because they've got it together.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. And what I'm looking at, their last three games are all games they should win.
Absolutely.
And you know, that starts off.
But you got to go out and play. I mean, Harmony Grove is one of those teams that if you go in there sleepwalking, they're 4-3. They're going to give you a good ball game.
Well, and the one thing about Harmony Grove, and I talked to Coach Cheshire about this some, is when you look at their four wins, they won by an average of about three or four touchdowns.
Yeah.
They lost the three games they lost by an average of three or four touchdowns. There were no really close games.
Yeah, they're
there.
Kind of a Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, so you don't know. Bauxite's
the ultimate Jekyll and Hyde in this conference,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, you're right. But you know, when you look at Harmony Grove, they beat Ashdown worse than Nashville did, score-wise.
Yes.
You know, but I think that the thing about it is, I think, you know, Nashville's going to get them at home.
Yeah,
I think that, and I think if you look at Harmony Groves, they're home in a ways where they won and lost.
Right. Yeah.
And so I think that's an advantage for Nashville, and I think Nashville has an easy time with what I call Benton Harmony Grove. They like to call it Haskell Harmony Grove.
Right.
The only thing I know is that Haskell's a just a convenience store.
It's
fixing to be a Buc-ee's right there.
Yeah, there's going to be a Buc-ee's close by.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
You know.
Haskell may be bigger than Benton for long after Buc-ee's gets here.
I'm telling you, I bet they're looking for those tax dollars.
I bet they are too. I bet you Benton's trying to figure out a way to annex that.
annex Haskell.
Yeah. That's for sure. But look forward to a big game from the Scrappers this week, and got a chance to sit down and talk to Coach Cheshire, and we'll listen to that now.
Okay, I'm here with Coach Brad Cheshire of the Nashville Scrappers, and Coach, man, big win over the Ashdown Panthers Friday night. First time you've been home in a while.
Yeah, it has been. That was our third home game, and you know, the three of these last four are at home, which is good. But it was good to be at home, and it was good to get a win versus Ashdown, 156-14. Just you know, another step closer to getting the conference title and the one seed, and something that hadn't been done in a few years, and something that we're normally used to, and we've got to get back to that. And so it was a big step to get there, but proud of our kids, our team, and the way we fought and played Friday night. And, saw some growth in the second half. A lot of things in the first half were not very good, just due to effort reasons, and we've got to fix that moving forward.
Well, a big win. A lot of people got some big numbers for you. Actually, some of the starters, based on what I see, probably rested a little bit in the second half and gave some other people opportunities. But Jacoby Hobson, 10 carries for 109 yards and three TDs, 7-9 passing for 82 yards. Then you had Tucker Dixon. You know, he had eight carries for 60 yards. But a couple of guys we want to talk about that we don't get to talk about every week. And you can talk about them if you want to.
Yeah, we had some guys that played well Friday night and did some things that we hadn't seen them do leading up to this point. Bryce Perrin had 9 carries for 51 yards and 2 touchdowns. Bryce is a kid that has been playing receiver all year. Obviously gets the ball at times on some jet sweep, you know, type plays, but put him in the backfield a little bit last Friday night. And Bryce proved that he can run the football and is a productive running back for us. And he also had a reception for 3 yards. But Bryce is a hard-nosed football player, also plays some defense at the safety position at times. Extremely proud of him and love having him on this team. I mean, he's the kid you love to coach. Tell you another one, you know, Trinity North Cross, the sophomore, came in and rushed for 26 yards and a touchdown, and also had a 15-yard receiving touchdown. And so he continues to grow and continues to improve every single week. DJ Jefferson, who, you know, had the injury right before the season, has slowly kind of worked his way back, and was able to see the field Friday night for the first time since Hot Springs Lakeside, and led our offense. He had two series that he played and led our offense to touchdowns on both of those series. And so it was good to see him back out there. A kid that was really productive for us at receiver was sophomore Gage Applegate, who had 5 receptions for 63 yards and 1 touchdown. Gage is a kid that continues to get better every week. Really good route runner. Strong when he has the football in his hands. Really good at making folks miss. And, you know, that's a dude that's just going to continue to grow and be special here and has a bright future. Chambers had a reception. Jalen Staggers had a reception. Cortez Cooper had a reception. Barry Williams and Lucas Ayat, our linebackers, had a solid night, both with 6 tackles apiece. Makai Johnson, our defensive end, continues to be a problem for folks. I mean, he has 6 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, 1 fumble recovery, continues to be really good. So, you know, just those are some guys to mention that did play well, that were productive for us last Friday night.
Well, that's great. So this week, moving on, you got what I call Benton Harmony Grove. I think they call themselves Haskell Harmony Grove now. But,
right.
Looking at their record, Coach, you know, it's like a up and down. They either got beat really bad or they won by a lot. Not any real close games for them. What do you make of that?
You know, when in the teams that had beat them seem to be, I mean, solid football teams. But this is a team from Haskell that you've got to respect. A team that, you know, when I first got here last winter, and I went and did film breakdown and studied all of our opponents and what they had coming back, this was a team that I knew would be competitive this year, and I knew that they would be much improved because they had so many young kids on their team last year, so they had a lot of returning starters. But, you know, they create a problem offensively for opposing defenses just because of what they do. You know, they're too tight, dead tee. They've shown to be multiple in their formations a little bit and get you with some unbalanced and overload sets. But they're a team that limits your offensive possessions, you know, and they can keep the ball for a whole quarter if you let them. This is one of those 3 yards in a cloud of dust type teams. And a lot of times you will see them on film, that 3 yards in a cloud of dust turns into pop for 40 or 50 yards, you know, or even 80 yards.
Right.
So, but they do have good sides up front offensively. One thing I have noticed is there has been like some special teams touchdowns been scored on them. You know, I think it seems like Malvern might have had 2 kickoff returns for touchdowns. I know 1, but I know that, you know, there's been some special teams deficiencies, you know, where they've been scored on. So when you look at scores on their schedule, it may not be that their defense couldn't stop them. You know, it might have been a kickoff return or a punt return or something like that. Or, you know, so that's something that I've noticed on film. But this is a very solid football team that you cannot take lightly. They play extremely hard every single down. They're very, very physical. So we're gonna have to prepare very well for this team.
Well, and, you know, I was just going to mention, I know you can't really compare scores, but I think their score in the Ashdown game was about the same as what yours was.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, and they and I tell you, you know, and go back to what I just said, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. They have an explosive offense now. And, you know, this ain't, you know, they've proven to be able to hit you on explosive run plays. And with what they do, there's so many gaps. If you don't line up correctly or if you don't fit it correctly, they can hit you with explosive run plays. And they proved against, you know, against Malvern, you watch that tape, you know, they hit them over the top with, you know, whether it was a tight end or a back out of the backfield and hit them on some big passing plays to score. But, you know, your alignment has to be key, and you've got to be able to control the line of scrimmage and not get pushed, or these dudes can be explosive and make a lot of plays.
Well, you know, Coach, I know that every game's tough in the 7-4A. It's just a gauntlet you got to run through, and y'all have done a good job. Y'all won five in a row after losing your first two, I believe that's correct. And, you know, just you seem to be peaking and growing and getting better every week and peaking right at the right time as you get to the end of the season towards the playoffs.
Yeah, I think so. And I still think that we still have a lot of room for growth. I do, just because of the amount of youth that we do have on our football team. And so I expect us to get better. I don't think that we're near to a point of where we peaked. And so which that's exciting, you know, and hopefully we just continue to improve at these little bitty things. You know, it's just small little details that we've got to continue to get better at.
Well, man, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today. I know you're really busy and you know, got a lot of things going on. Look forward to talking to you next week and another scrapper victory over those Benton Harmony Grove.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thanks for all you do.
Have a good day.
At Hometown Poultry Supply, we're not just equipment dealers, we're poultry growers just like you. We know the struggles, we know the solutions, and we're here to help you succeed. And we've got the knowledge and the brands to keep your operation running. When trouble hits, we're there for you 24/7 service, day or night. Find us at 1516 South 4th Street in Nashville, right next to McDonald's. Hometown Poultry Supply, where we treat our customers the way we want to be treated.
The Mena Bearcats beat Waldron last Friday night, 35-12, in what is kind of a rivalry game.
It is a rivalry game, yeah. Coach Bentley talked last week about they always go up there and get a haymaker from Waldron. They get Waldron's best shot, and this game was no different. It was close for a while, but Mena manages to pull away and get a big conference win.
And you know, I think the usual suspects for the Bearcats were led the way. Tripp Hensley, he had a great game.
Yeah, 288 total yards and 5 touchdowns.
That's all the touchdowns, Tony.
just then, that's pretty good.
yeah, that's pretty good.
Guy Sanderson, he had a couple of those touchdown catches. And then Ryder House just...
Let me guess.
A day at the office.
He had double digits tackles.
Yeah, absolutely. 14.
Oh, my goodness.
has over 100 already this season. That's 7 games in. You do the quick math on that, that's 14 or 15 a game. That's pretty good.
Yeah. To do it every game, that's really good.
To be consistent because, you know, people start running away from you. They start double-teaming you. They start trying to figure out a way to neutralize you. They haven't figured out a way to neutralize Ryder House yet.
They haven't even slowed him down.
No.
Yeah. But, no. Mena goes to the Dover Pirates this week, and if you got to go to Dover, at least you're going to a team that's winless. So,
I think that probably Mena's biggest obstacle this week will be Mena. And Coach Bentley kind of talked about that. You want to go up there. It's more about the process this week. It's more about us being Mena and doing the Mena things right. And those beating the Pirates will take care of itself.
Yeah, I think the worst problem that Mena's going to have this week is not getting sick on the bus ride up there. through the mountains.
I've never been to Dover, so I don't know. But well, Dover lost to Clinton Friday, 49-14.
Yeah, but it's up around Russellville.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but anyway, it looks like again a winnable game for the Bearcats. Bearcats 5-2.
Really put them in good position for this last run in the conference.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Let's see what Coach Bentley has to say.
Here with Coach Bentley, the Mena Bearcats. And Coach, you and I talked last week about the trip to Waldron and that you were going to get their best shot. And it sure sounded like the Bulldogs played pretty well, but you guys wore them down in the end.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, two things could be true at once, right? You could be happy with the outcome but not happy with the way we got there in the process. And I think that kind of describes that game. We're definitely happy that we won. And, you know, winning's hard in any sense. So, we're not going to take advantage of that. But definitely not happy with how we got there and the process of it. But our kids found a way. They fought through it. And, you know, by the middle of the third quarter, we were able to kind of put it away.
Well, and I think it's a fair thing to say. You know, you hear people say that this is our Super Bowl or that is their Super Bowl. This was a big game for the Bulldogs. They, they had nothing to lose, and I'm sure that they came in sky high.
Yeah, they did, and they have some good players and good coaches over there. So, I mean, it was their senior night. They were fired up, and you know, they kept throwing punches and had a good game plan for us. And, honestly, it's not atypical of us playing there. You know, when we've gone and played there, you know, traditionally in the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, I mean, it's pretty typical of how that game has gone. They, you know, again, going back to some history in 2020, we had to, you know, go down and drive a couple plays and hit a long pass on them at the buzzer to beat them. And then they were up on us at halftime just a couple of years later. And, it always seems like it's close for a while over there when we play there. So, but like I said, you got to fight through that. I mean, that's not an excuse of any reason. And we did. I mean, we had a good stop right before half. Then they came out and scored on a big play right after half. We had a big stop in the second on the 2-point play. And then, like I said, our kids kind of picked it up a little bit. We're able to adjust. Coaches did a good job adjusting and was able to get it done.
Ends up 35-12, Bearcats. Who had big games for the Bearcats, Coach?
Yeah, Tripp Hensley had a big night, a quarterback. He had two passing touchdowns, and then he ran for 187 yards and three rushing touchdowns. So, yeah, he was all over the place. Guy Sanderson was big. He had three catches and two touchdowns. And then, Ryder House, you've heard that name all night. He had another, I think, 12, 14 tackles, something like that. So he's got over 100 now for the year. So, Max Rocha, Aiden Anderson, Grayson Farringer, those seniors up front, you know, really have stepped up on the O-line. So a couple guys had a big night. And like I said, it took us a little while to get there, but that's kind of how it goes sometimes. You just got to fight through it.
Well, and this week it's the Dover Pirates. Dover kind of in the same boat as Waldron. Have you got to watch some film on that? I'm sure you have.
We started prepping on Saturday, and really we started watching them, talking about them Friday. But yeah, I mean, they've had a tough year so far, but again, that's a 2-hour trip for us. The weather's not going to be great and probably be a different environment than we're used to. Our fans always travel great, but I don't think our band and cheer is going to be able to make it because of the weather and a few other things. So we're going to have to find our own motivation and way of doing it. But again, I think it starts with processes, and it's not so much worrying about Friday. It's worrying about, you know, today and what we're doing to get ready for that. Friday will come soon enough. But I think if you worry so much about, I think that, again, I look at the two things this year that I think I've made the biggest mistake on is our Pottsville game and even the Waldron game. And I feel like we were too outcome oriented instead of process oriented. So we're back on track this week.
Right. Well, the win makes you guys 5-2 with three games remaining, right in the thick of the playoff race. The game against Dover is one that any team that's in the playoff race would need.
Yeah, we definitely need to get it, and kind of helps secure us a little bit more into that playoff spot. Then it puts us to where we can play for a little bit more seeding in week 9 and 10.
All right. Well, Coach, you're always generous with your time, and I hope we're talking about a Bearcat win over the Pirates next week.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Maybe having a dry out a little bit. It looks like some rain. So
it looks like it might. You know, I get to sit in the press box, so I'm thankful for those things.
Our coaches don't. Our coaches who are in the box, every coach wants to be on the field, but those guys in the box, they like it when it's cold or when it's wet.
There you go.
All right. I appreciate you.
Coach, you have a great week.
Thanks.
Take care.
At Pilgrims, their vision guides everything they do to be the best and most respected company in the industry, creating the opportunity of a better future for their team members. Absolutely amazing. We love having Pilgrims Pride as our title sponsor. From education and recreation to healthcare and social services, JBS USA invests in meaningful community projects that have had lasting benefits for their team members and their neighbors, and they provide meaningful investments in projects that will have lasting impact for generations to come. The Hometown Strong Initiative is part of a $70 million contribution to the communities where they live and work. Also, building the largest free college tuition program in rural America, Better Futures. Pilgrims is providing team members and their child dependents the opportunity to pursue their higher education dreams for associate degrees and trade certificates at community and technical college tuition free. Also, they want their team members to know just how much they appreciate their dedication by ensuring they love working with us. As part of their total compensation package, they offer comprehensive employee benefits designed to meet the healthcare and financial goals of their team members and their families today, tomorrow, and in the future. Their seven values include determination, simplicity, availability, humility, sincerity, discipline, and ownership. These values are reflected in the hard work of their team members every single day. Community is also a driving force behind everything Pilgrims does, whether it's in community events, fundraisers, charitable donations to the community. Pilgrims can always be seen helping wherever they can. We value the people who make our company a success. Seriously, so many fundraisers in the area, you always know Pilgrims always donates the chicken and even cooks it sometimes. They're always seen in the community for many community events. So we appreciate them so much in the community for employing so many people here and also for sponsoring and being the title sponsor for the Southwest Arkansas Sports page on the air. So again, we appreciate them so much. Opportunity awaits. Join their talent community today and visit jobs.pilgrims.com.
Now it's time to talk about the Dirks Outlaws. Before we talk about football, let's talk about Friday night 5G lights. Last week, don't give up. Keep voting every email, every day.
Yeah, you can go to my Facebook page. You can go to the Southwest Arkansas Sports page on the air Facebook page. There's places to vote there. I put on there yesterday, leave no doubt. I don't want anybody from Oregon saying we stole this thing when we beat them by 500,000 votes.
That's right.
That's exactly right. So don't forget that. Now we'll talk about Dirks football. Dirks got the pleasure of going to Louisiana last week. Tuttle's still not back.
Tuttle's trying to find his way back from Junction City.
They go down to Junction City and
he's somewhere around El Dorado, we hear.
That's right. I think he made it up to Camden Harmony Grove somewhere.
He's probably just there. Camped out at the Flying Burger or something.
Yeah, he may be. He'll eventually make it back, though, so we miss you, buddy, because we can't make fun of you as much when you're here. But anyway, lose that game 43-6, but, you know, Junction City's second-ranked team in 2A.
Well, did you see the picture of their line that was on Facebook? They look like the LSU Tigers.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was unbelievable how big Junction City is. And it was very impressive. I don't know. I mean, who in 2A is going to handle them?
I have no idea.
Yeah,
me neither. I think they've got as good a shot. Of course, EPC. East Poinsett County.
Yeah.
I think they've got a really good team, too.
Yeah. And that's I can't imagine they're bigger, though.
No, probably not bigger than at least that one kid.
Well, their whole line was
huge. Yeah, their line's huge, but that one guy makes everybody look little.
Yeah.
But, I'd love to see that football game.
Yeah.
EPC against them would be a great football game. But anyway, talking about the Outlaws went down and got beat. But, you know, this week, they got a big game in the holler.
Huge game in the holler. Huge game. We talked about it when we talked about the Gators. Probably an elimination game. The winner of this game is still going to be right in the playoff hunt. The loser's probably playing out the string. Both 3-4 on the year. Both 1-3 in the league. And they don't come any bigger than this one.
Yeah. And you know, one of the biggest challenges for the Outlaws is going to be to come back from that loss. at Junction City and get ready. Of course, knowing you're playing Foreman, I'm going to say that's probably a pretty big rivalry game,
yes,
too.
Yes.
So, you know, I may leak a little here. That's going to be our game of the week.
It is going to be our game, yeah, of the week. And one, if you're just looking for a game to go to see a good high school football game, take an umbrella and drive to Derek's.
Coach Ernest called in, and we'll talk to him now.
With Outlaw Coach Paul Ernest and Coach, y'all got the Junction City Dragons Friday night. I saw a picture of them on Facebook, and I thought maybe that LSU had made a wrong turn, and that's who you guys have got Friday night with that hot purple and big old boys.
Yeah, they had some big lunches, and I guess we got full pretty early. We couldn't eat with them, and it was you know, just a case of I really felt like our offense and defensive schemes were pretty good for what they brought. And, you know, the separation was just things that were outside of our control. We had some injuries, had some kids playing out of position, had some kids playing for the first time in meaningful minutes. And, you know, when you're playing a good team and you're playing a team that, you know, with the size that they had up front, and then their speed was just something we couldn't match, and it got out of hand, and felt like our kids had about two series where they kind of let it get to them. We made some mistakes that we hadn't been making all year. I think one drive we had maybe four false start penalties, things like that, where we're just trying to get an extra step in to try to block those guys. And other than that, we played fairly decent. You know, for what we were up against. And, you know, we just got to go back to work and put that game behind us, make sure one game doesn't make us lose two or three down the road.
That's right. You don't let Junction City beat you two or three times. You know, I think about that kind of size, and I think about your team's very scrappy. You have a lot of players that play both ways, and that size has to wear on you as the game goes on.
Yeah, you know, you could see it, particularly with our linebackers. They're so big that, you know, they were smothering our defensive line and getting on our linebackers. And, you know, one of those kids is playing pretty banged up. And another kid got – I mean, he came over and he said, yeah, I got my elbow stepped on. And I'm like, man, it's football. That's what I told him. It's football. You're gonna get stepped on sometimes. Get your butt back out there. And he went back out there and he came back over and he was like, well, it was number 54 that stepped on me. And that's the kid that weighs 390 pounds. So I was like, yeah, that's a little bit different. I really didn't consider that. You know, I'm used to my running backs getting their arms stepped on or feet stepped on or something. But this kid was a linebacker and went to make a tackle. And that kid came in kind of from the side, stepped right on his elbow. And I kind of felt bad after that. I don't normally feel real bad when I'm saying stuff like that, but I did feel bad for 390 pounds.
Well, you know, I think if, we get to the end of November, I think Junction City is going to be one of those teams right there in the hunt for 3A. We turn the page this week, and it's I think this is a rivalry game for you guys, the Foreman Gators, and you pretty local as far as games in Southwest Arkansas go, both of you 3-4, a huge game that in the conference has a lot of implications there.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, Foreman, I'll tell you what, Ed Baker down there has done a tremendous job of installing a system and sticking with it. They run the flex bone, kind of the Harding version. That's kind of the popular thing for teams to run these days. And they do a really good job at it. Defensively, they present a multiple odd front defense that, you know, you just got to kind of feel your way around what they're trying to take away and, you know, have a system in place to attack that. And I feel like we do. So, you know, we're looking at hopefully getting some kids back, get some kids back to playing their position that helps us be the best 11 on the field. Sometimes that's not always the case. Sometimes you got a kid that's a really good, I don't know, running back, but he helps your team more if he goes out and plays wide receiver, stuff like that. And this week we kind of had to fill in the spots and, you know, maybe this week we'll get some of those kids back, looking like we'll get at least one back and be able to put some kids back in positions that make us the best 11, not the 11 best.
Well, and I believe you host them in the Holler. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. We have them at home.
All right. So speaking of the holler, I got to look at the T-Mobile numbers this morning, and we just need to finish strong. The lead increased over the weekend, which is great. But I put on my Facebook page, leave no doubt. I want to beat, and I don't have anything against people in Oregon. I really don't. but I would love to beat them by 500,000 votes. That way, there's absolutely no doubt who wanted this more and who deserves it.
Yeah, we've kind of tried to be really careful with, we've done so much getting people from outside, having people contact us about wanting to promote. And the one thing that we've tried to say is, hey, let's focus on us. Let's keep it about us.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to say not everybody I would like to say that everybody has done that, but we have had a few that, have said something about, other schools that are in it or whatever, but, they're one of their, I don't know, a state representative or something made a post that's going around pretty good in our area. And it's, makes kind of a jab at, how can Arkansas beat Oregon? And I think that fires some people up. So, it's been great. It's been, pretty stressful at times. The good thing is for me, I guess, is it has taken a little bit of the spotlight off that we are 3-4. So, I'm trying to keep it about football, but right now I'm thanking T-Mobile because 3-4 when you're at Derrick's is not something people are likely to let you forget. So.
Well, we need to vote. I've been in Arkansas, Kansas for 15 years, and I would tell the people in Oregon, if you want an Arkansan to do something, tell them that they can't. And
yeah, and I think doubt about that.
And I think that has probably played into it as much. But the sense of community here is just awesome. Not just in Derrick's where it is awesome, but the whole southwest part of the state. And I really think this is a whole state effort.
Yeah, it's really been, I mean, I've said it now for about 2 weeks that it's unbelievable. I know that a couple schools had pep rallies going into their game on Friday night. And during their pep rally, they did a little video supporting Derrick's and saying vote for Derrick's. And, some of those schools are our biggest rivals. And it's really amazing. It might be that they have to come play at our place and sit in our bleachers and dress in that dressing room. So they may want us to win it to help take care of them, but I'm fine with that. We will. That's part of the plan is we're going to put a better playing surface out there if we win. And we're going to put new bleachers out there if we win. We're going to put lights up and possibly do some things with bathrooms and concessions and dressing area as well. So we got to see how far that money will go once the State Department gets a hold of it. Of course, you can't just build a building for whatever cost it is for a school. You've got to build a building and get state approval, which requires, different engineers and certain companies and all that. So right. It's a little bit more expensive, but we're going to try to see if we can stretch every penny out of it if we win it. Right now, we feel very fortunate, very blessed to have won the 30,000 leading up to now. Another thing that we're really excited about along with the field is Gronk Fitness. We'll come in and do an assessment and a remodel of your weight room, which, that directly affects all of our programs since
Absolutely.
Every kid
yeah.
in our school, boy and girl, uses our weight room. And we're just really excited about the opportunity for our kids and for the surrounding communities when they come. Really looking forward to closing it out, but we need those votes. That's for sure.
That's right. We got 5 days left and we just, we need to finish it off. Just need to finish it off. Well, Coach, it's always a pleasure to get to talk to you and, we'll talk next week about the Outlaws and the Gators.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it very much, Tony. Appreciate you supporting us through this, contest. But you've supported us when there hadn't been no contest. You had us on and you've highlighted our kids, and I can't be grateful enough for that. So thank you for that, and go Outlaws.
Go Outlaws. Take care, Coach.
You too.
UA Cossetot, cccua.edu. We appreciate them so much for sponsoring the Southwest Arkansas Sports page on the air, and you need to go to that website today. You can find out so much information, including how to apply and enroll, and check out all of their programs and areas of study, their degree plans, medical education, online programs, programs by campus, and their high school programs as well. You can graduate high school with an associate's degree using the UA Cossetot High School programs they have on offer. You can also figure out how to pay for college as well, either with financial aid or scholarships, disbursements and refunds, and so much more. Figure out your textbooks and all career pathways. You can also check out their athletic stuff, their Colts merchandise shop. And speaking of that, you can go to uacossetotcolts.com. That is a website dedicated just for Colts fans. So you can check out, you know, basketball's about to be starting up. Soccer is going strong right now. Their shooting sports are going strong. And you can visit their team shop. And you can donate directly to the UA Cossetot Colts and their athletic department there on the website. So join the Colts Club today and go to uacossetotcolts.com. And again, they're the main website. You can find out everything you need to know. Look at their calendar. Check out more about them and the news and all of their locations and everything. UA Cossetot, again, we appreciate them so much for sponsoring the podcast, and they've been with us for a good while now. So again, it's perfect for us, and we love talking about him. UA Cossetot, hit up cccua.edu today.
Time to talk about the Cossetot River Eagles now.
Yeah, and they finished the junior high season with a win last Monday night, and got to talk to Coach Dakota Barrett about it.
I'm with Coach Dakota Barrett of the Cossetot River Eagles. Coach, how have you been?
Man, it's been great. Wrapped up football season and moving on into basketball.
Okay, so last Monday, you all played a junior high football game against Horatio, correct?
That is correct.
And that was a win for the Eagles.
Yes, sir. You know, we talked all week about we preached our guys shut out. We let them drive once. They got down to about our four, come up with a big fumble and turnover, and then took the dive and went any direction we could want to go, and we ran backwards. And got a safety and ended up 32-2. But I thought our guys played really hard and played really well. And, you know, we certainly seen those improvements from week one to the last week football. And, you know, for me, that's really what it's all about.
Well, and we, as we talked about last week, not only from week one to now, but from year one to now, the Eagles program has come a long, long way.
Yeah, you bet. You know, we talked about that year one to year two jump, and though I think they did improve, year two to year three was tremendously bigger for the junior high group. And, you know, just angles and just the aggression of football, I felt like they took on a little bit more. You know, we mentioned Tanner Trahan earlier, really anchored us defensively, kind of go hit you in the mouth kind of kid. And
oh yeah.
just a football player. You know, wherever he would be, even if it wasn't Cossetot, I think he'd end up being a football guy. So blessed to have him a part of it. Finally got some speed to add in. And then Jordan Thurman moved in from California, come in, played his tail off for us, and a really good athlete, only an eighth grader. So we'll return him next year in junior high as well.
Man, that is awesome. And now you transition from being the football coach to being the basketball coach. And I know the basic differences, but what about your mindset as a coach in that kind of transition?
Yeah, you betcha. You know, we talk about it. It's kind of hard going football to basketball and getting the mindset switched over. But we've kind of been there all week this week and really been locked in. Got our senior boys. Today was our first real kind of get after it kind of practice. And like I'm saying from our kids, everybody getting after it hard. And, you know, I love football and enjoy the sport, but my heart's in basketball. And so I don't know about the kids, but I sure look forward to next Friday night. And we play Blevins at the Akron Classic. And I figure it'll be a knockdown dragout.
Coach, how many kids transitioned from football to basketball, and do you expect maybe to help you with maybe be a little more aggressive, be a little more physical?
Yeah, I think it'll help us some. You know, we talk about that a lot. You know, we play the Boonvilles of the world, and they come in and they're pretty physical. And but you know, the down part of it that you have to be prepared for is those kids coming out of football. They're behind as far as touching a basketball goes.
Right.
And so, you know, sometimes it's till after Christmas before you get that going and get them kids in full swing. I know when you play a Boonville, Charleston, Mansfield, whoever, early in the year, it's not typically who you get come district tournament time. And that's a lot because those football kids just get going. So we have lost that edge in some sense. But hopefully the physicalness of it follows us to basketball. And you know, it helps. I get to have those kids, and they know me, so it's not a transition from coach to coach. And you know, our expectations don't change a lot from down there to up here. Work hard and just give it what you got.
Well, Coach, you've been very generous with your time this year to talk to us, and we've been with you guys from the very very start of this. I don't know if you can call it a new football program now. I mean, you guys are going to be just like everybody else starting next year. And, you know, that's probably a big part of the goal, that nobody will call us new anymore, upstart, that we'll be just like everybody else.
Yeah, I tell you, you know, we use it as a crutch a lot that we're in year three or whatever. But, you know, next year, all that goes out the window. You're in the cycle, and you get who you get week to week, and you're either prepared and ready for them or you're not. And, you know, those teams have an upper edge. But, you know, for us, we're going to line up and play the game, and, you know, hopefully it goes in our favor. But we're probably going to be in a pretty tough conference, and we're going to have to work really hard this summer and get ready to go.
Well, Coach, yeah, I'm looking forward to you and I having some basketball conversations, and just go Eagles.
Yes, sir. Go Eagles. I appreciate y'all.
Take care.
DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. DeQueen Animal Hospital at 1690 Highway 70 West, right here in DeQueen. Give them a call, 870-642-8387, to schedule an appointment today. And Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, located at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown. You can call them at 870-898-5181. Come on, man. Martin Veterinary Services, think of them as your other family doctor, okay? Everybody knows. Your furry little ones, come on, you need to give them the best health care possible, and you will do no wrong by going with Martin Veterinary Services, Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, DeQueen Animal Hospital. Just, if you don't take my word for it, take all these Google reviews, 5 stars across the board of all of this, and they're all recent too. They help our dogs, they give them shots, they check them out. Absolutely awesome place to take your fur babies. This town gained angels when he brought his family here. That's how much people trust Dr. Martin and his staff. Absolutely amazing staff. I've used them personally. I got myself a new dog not long ago. A new dog, you know, got myself a dog, and he was a stray, so took him there. You know, he of course had, you know, worms and some other small problems, some skin problems. They helped him through all of that. And then actually just recently got him, you know, his, you know, he got him neutered over there, and it was a great process. They kept him overnight, you know, and picking him up, and you almost couldn't even tell that anything had happened, you know? So that was very, very cool to see. They love my dog up there, and I'm sure they love yours. I've taken my cats there for their yearly shots and all that stuff. So whether it's just routine or something serious, you can trust DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. We appreciate them for sponsoring the podcast since the very beginning. So trust Martin Veterinary Services today. Now it's time for my favorite segment, and that is the award show that we do on the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. And we got a lot of awards to give away.
We sure do, and we're going to start out with the Shelter Insurance Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week. And that's going to be
Keegan McCoy, one of the best interceptions I've ever seen, regardless of high school, college, pro. It was awesome. Go back on DQTV and watch it.
All right, and we move on to the Domtar Panther Player of the Week.
No surprise here, Bryson French, 8 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown.
The Horatio State Bank Line Player of the Week is going to be
Joseph Fonseca, had 100 yards rushing.
And the Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Week is
Victron Moore, love that name, 96-yard interception return for a touchdown.
Loveless Refrigeration Scrapper Player of the Week this week is going to be
It's going to be Bryce Perrin, had 9 carries, had 54 total yards, had a couple of touchdowns.
The Shelter Insurance Todd Moore Agency Outlaw Player of the Week this week,
Tristan Godwin, leading tackler for the Outlaws this week.
And moving on to the Union Bank of MENA Bearcat Player of the Week, that's going to be...
Guy Sanderson had two receiving touchdowns for the Bearcats in the win over Waldron.
The Union Bank of MENA Eagle Player of the Week is this week...
Jordan Thurman had 11 tackles, had 88 yards and a touchdown in the win over Horatio.
And now we move on to the area players. And the Toad Thumper Lure Offensive Player of the Area is going to be...
No surprise here, Trip Hensley had 288 total yards and 5 total touchdowns in the wins over the Bulldogs.
And the Horatio State Bank Defensive Player of the Area.
Ryder House, 14 tackles, and that's a familiar name.
Yeah, it seems like I've heard it.
Yeah.
And now it's time for the Mud Creek Designs Player of the Area. That's going to be...
Brody Bearden of the Foreman Gators goes over 100 yards in the Gators. Huge win this week.
All right, one more thing to do, and we mentioned it a little bit earlier, but we got to talk about the DeQueen Motorsports Game of the Week.
It's going to be Foreman at Derrick's in the holler, and should be a really good one.
All right, I think that wraps it up for high school sports talk, but we always like to take a little bit of time to talk about some national topics, and this conversation is brought to you by MENA Pre-Owned.
Yes, and Greg and I got to talk about this first subject after he heard a mediocre sermon on Sunday. The worst case scenario for Arkansas. And I talked about, Greg, that it might be that Arkansas loses every game forward by 3 to 7 points. They play close, but they don't win. And what do you do then with Bobby Petrino?
Well, you know,
because they've played well. Not well enough to win, but well.
Well, you know, there's several things that I wonder about as we move through this process. I think they're playing better
under him than they were.
Now, is that attributed to him? Is that attributed to the coaching change and them just – the kids just waking up and realizing that they can't just lumber through?
They got Sam Pittman fired.
Well, they got – you know, I mean, this is a money deal for them too.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's not just like it used to be.
Right.
You know, and so I don't know how all that – the one thing that concerns me – I mean, if you're not a Bobby Petrino fan or not looking for him, one of the things that concerns me is what we're going to talk about. We can talk about it together.
Yes.
Is the more people that get fired, the less likely we have of getting a quality coach.
8% of Division I college football is going to be looking, at least 8%, because there could still be some more people fired. 8% of Division I college football is going to be looking for a football coach at the end of this year.
Yeah.
The list includes Penn State, Florida, UCLA, Arkansas, Virginia Tech, Oklahoma State, Stanford, Oregon State, UAB, and Colorado State right now.
Yeah, and there'll be more.
There will be more.
Yeah. And
Where do you think Arkansas ranks in that as far as the importance of the job or the attraction of the job?
Well, if you know, to be honest with you, I think that, when you look, where I think it, you know, I'm kind of biased, I think when you look at what I'm looking at is money wise.
Right.
So if you got Penn State, better job.
Yeah.
Florida, better job.
Yes.
Because of the athletes, if not the money.
Well, the recruiting base.
Yeah. 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 I would say UCLA is a better job.
I would say UCLA and Arkansas are on par.
Yeah.
Big Ten, SEC,
yeah.
Probably middlings in those conferences. Mm-hmm. I think probably they are very similar jobs.
And so then of the other teams that we know so far, I think Arkansas is head and shoulders above them.
I agree.
Now, the only thing that I would say that might temper that one just a little bit is Oklahoma State. If Boone Pickens is still, or his family's still pouring money into it, if they're going to pour enough money into it, because like I told you last week,
yeah.
I firmly believe it's not about the coach, it's about the money you get.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, because if you get Rhett Lashley up here from SMU, who's making $9 million, and you give him $9 million, you give him $1 million of NIL money, he's not going to win.
No.
You know, if you want, you know, here's the deal is what Arkansas has to decide. And when I say this, I'm talking about not just the school, but everybody that has some money to throw around. They got to decide whether they want to be in the national championship hunt or not. Now, if you don't, if you want to be in the national championship hunt, that's going to cost you, in my opinion, $25 to $35 million a year
in NIL money
every year.
Yeah,
and coach.
Yeah, yeah,
and coach.
Yeah,
and head coach. I don't know. I'm not counting the other coaches.
Right.
Which so that you know, probably $10 million to $12 million for all the coaches.
Right.
And then the rest of that $20 to $25 million for if you want to be in the national championship.
Yeah.
If you don't care about that, then you can back off. But you're not going to be in it at Arkansas unless you're going to have to put more money in it than teams like Alabama or Notre Dame or Ohio State, because they're already up there.
Right.
To get up there, you got to pay to get up there.
Right.
Now, it didn't used to be that way. You used to could work your way up there maybe and out recruit somebody. Well, the only thing these kids care about now, and I don't blame them,
right,
is who's going to pay me the most money.
Right.
So it's just like the I was talking about the Washington kid that they got from New Mexico State that's done a really good job running the football. He won't be there next year.
No.
Somebody will pay him more money than we're willing to pay him.
No. And the kid from Marshall that's now still leading the NCAA in passing efficiency, 12 touchdowns, one interception, about 75% of his passes complete. He's not going to be at Marshall next year. He's a freshman.
Yeah.
He's not going to be at Marshall next year. No. Somebody's going to pay him more.
Yeah.
I think one of the worst things that could happen for Arkansas, and I don't know if any Arkansas fans have thought about this, Virginia Tech is one of the teams that will be looking for a coach. They're talking about Shane Beamer. If they are able to lure Shane Beamer from South Carolina to Virginia Tech, is South Carolina as attractive a job as Arkansas? Because now you're back in the SEC.
See, I'd like to say no.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I'm realistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I don't know why they'd want Shane Beamer either. But
sentimental reasons.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only reason it could be. He didn't really do a great job coaching this year.
No. He's had better years than this year.
Yeah. Yeah. But
if this was all going down last year, I think Shane Beamer would be a very legitimate candidate.
Yeah. Yeah. And they may still get him. And he does okay.
Yeah.
I'm not, but I, you know, I think one of the things you got to realize is if you're, the coach at Memphis, for example,
right,
we'll use him, and I can't remember his name. They throw him around.
Silverfield, something like
that.
Yeah,
Silverfish or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, if he's going like this, looking at these names, he's going, Arkansas is not one, two, probably not third on his list.
Right.
Because I'm telling you, what those coaches are looking for is an opportunity to win a national championship.
Right.
Now, unless you pony up, and it's just like I've said before, I firmly believe if they gave me $50 million, I could win a national championship.
Right.
Because all I do is go hire Bobby Petrino to be the coach.
Yeah.
Underneath.
You get the right guys around you.
Yeah, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
And or somebody like him, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, and you may not win, but you're going to be up there.
Right.
You know, that's what
you're going to be in the conversation.
Yeah, that's right. But I think the deal with the problem with Bobby Petrino is not this year and it's not next year, but he's close to being done.
Yeah, he's older than me.
Yeah. I think
he's 64.
Yeah, I thought he was almost as old as I was. What I was going to say.
Yeah.
So I mean, you're looking at, I mean, if he coaches 5 years, I'd be surprised.
That was my main thing about people who have told me that Petrino's their guy. You're going to be right back in this situation in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
You just are.
Yeah. And you know, and I guess maybe the way you look at it is you get the best you can get for now and go on.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I just hope we don't.
I think they can get him at a discount.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't think there's people lined up to hire Bobby Petrino.
No.
He has an in at Arkansas that he's not going to have at other places.
Right.
But I don't know. Like we talked about last week, and it could be a mistake. You know, I've made mistakes before. But if I was the AD, and if I was going to have anything to do with this hire, I would be looking for the next Craig Cignetti and trying to bring him to Arkansas.
Yeah. Or try to bring Craig Cignetti.
Yeah. Well, Indiana just poding up on him.
Well, Yeah,
he's making $9 or $10 million a year now.
Well, everybody's making $9 or $10 million.
Well, you and I are.
If they have, yeah. Well, if they have names,
yeah.
You know, if they got a name in coaching, they are. That's the thing. All that's went way up.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing about it is, if Cignetti looks at it honestly, he can't keep Indiana where they are.
I wouldn't think so.
So he's got to move on. Now, it may be 2 or 3 years, or it may be this year.
Right.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah. We have seen that, you know, if a university wants you bad enough, it doesn't matter what it costs.
That's right. Unless y'all got something else, I think that just about rounds it up. I want to mention again, we thank all our sponsors for what they do. We couldn't do it without you. We thank the coaches and the play-by-play guys, everybody for getting us information and talking to us. But most of all, we thank the kids. That's who we do it for. See you next week.
See you next week.